Love and marriage, love and marriage, go together like a horse and carriage. This I tell you, brother.
Marriage. Marriage is what brings us together today. Name that movie. Anyone?
Yes, Princess Bride.
There he is.
Hey, good job.
Good job, Ron. Well, Joe and Cindy Freeney, my parents are here to join us for their weekly segment, My Marriage Matters. Good morning, you two.
Good morning.
Good morning. Okay, so you had a listener write into you talking about how to show grace and forgiveness to their in-laws. And I was wondering, first of all, I mean, I obviously knew my grandparents, your parents. How was your relationship with them when you guys were getting married and first married?
Well, I think we had actually very good relationships with them.
Uh-huh.
In particular, Joe's parents, I think we really benefited because of some things of the past that had happened that they learned from that benefited us in terms of them just being really good grandparents and in-laws.
Yeah, that's awesome. Dad, how about you? What do you think?
Oh, Cindy's parents were just tremendous. He had no problems being with them. It was always actually a real joy and a blessing to go to their homes. We look forward to going to their homes, especially on Sundays with the kids, and they always were very welcoming. So we didn't have any problems with this question, particularly ourselves.
Nice. Well, there are some people out there who clearly have some things they have to work out with their in-laws. So share a little bit about what this listener mentioned to you guys.
Well, let me say first that we kind of are taking this from when Joy Traxel was on the other day.
Uh-huh.
Someone had a question, and I told them via text that we would address it on the air.
Oh, great.
Because we didn't get a chance to do it when she was there. So thank you, Joy, for giving us this question here via these listeners. So the question was really, how can I show grace and forgiveness to my in-laws when they're definitely showing favoritism to one grandchild over another? Also that they're breaking commitments that are made, and also that there's a lack of making an effort to see the children. So we thought we'd break those down kind of individually.
Sure.
So, but let me just say overall, I feel like as a parent, you really probably have to let that go, because the grandparents' choices are their choices, and we can't let a parent, like a grandparent, really rule over you.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we can't tell them what to do, but we can certainly invite them. We can welcome them in. And if they don't want to, don't care to, aren't interested, then we just have to realize, well, they're the ones missing out. That's kind of how I look at that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
so
that's good.
If we take the first one, favoritism toward one grandchild over another, I'll say something and then I'll let Joe say something here. But I think, you know, eventually the grandparent, is going to figure out that they're kind of missing out. And they're going to realize that they're showing favoritism, hopefully, by maybe how the children are responding to them, or maybe because the parents will say something to them. But I have seen this in several families. One in particular that I was thinking of was a step family situation, but the other one was a biological situation. And when I watched these grandparents show favoritism either to a child or grandchild, I can honestly say that there's devastation in that family, and the child in both cases withdrew from the grandparents.
Okay. So Dad, what would you tell these people?
Well, I mean, I totally agree with Cindy here. I mean, there are going to be situations where we just are going to have more favor towards one child over another one. And let's take it from a different perspective in this one. And let's say, you know, there's a coach that shows great favoritism towards one of the children because of their child excels in sports, or a teacher maybe shows favoritism towards one of your children because of their talents and their gifts or their abilities and over the other children. And we, you know, we expect that, and we need to accept that as a reality. And why these particular grandparents are showing favoritism towards one grandchild or another, is that's a legitimate topic or discussion between the parents and the grandparents without the children being present.
Right.
And for that discussion. So most likely there is something about that grandchild that causes those grandparents to show their favoritism. And you really, as a parent, you have really no control over that one. We just need to accept that.
Yeah, it's hard because then, like, do you tell – what if the grandparent doesn't know, or if they're like, oh, I didn't think I was showing favoritism? You just sometimes connect with people better or have more in common. So what else did they talk to you guys about?
Yeah, I'd like to just take what you just said. I think that's really true. You may connect better with one over another, just like any other person in your life.
Yeah.
But I think that if we are, if one of our children tell us that we're doing that, I think that's a good check for us. And then to be careful not to do that. If we really are going to be mindful, if you will, of what our, you know, if my daughter says to me, you're showing favoritism of this child over the other, I would want to know that, because in my heart, that's not my goal or my thinking, but that would help if someone told us that, you know. But then the next thing that they did mention was breaking commitments made. And I feel that according to Matthew 5:37, that says, let your yes be yes and your no be no. It doesn't matter who you are, grandparent, parent, friend, spouse. If you make a commitment, make your yes, yes, keep it. And if you say no, you know, certainly keep to what you said. I think that's important. The people get to know who you are, then they trust you. And one verse that Joe and I really loved, and this was something way early in our marriage, I think maybe even before we got married, that we really employed into our life. And this was from Psalm 15. It's verse 4, the third part of that verse. It says, he swears to his own hurt and he does not change. And we really took that to say, when you make a plan or you make a vow, you keep it. Hmm. And so no matter what, way back in the day, if we made a plan to go do something, it didn't matter if something better came along or something else came along. We said yes to what we first said yes to. And now if there were an exception where you had another commitment that you really had to go to over maybe just time with a friend, we would then address it with that person and say, you know, here's something that came up. We still would stay committed to you, but if we could change that time, could we? Because then you're honoring that person's time. And I think that that overflows into all areas of our life, including with our children and our grandchildren.
Definitely.
All right.
If the in-laws are not receptive, if you notice the favoritism or your child comes to you and the in-laws are not receptive to your to what you tell them, how do you communicate with your child in a way that protects them emotionally from what favoritism can do?
Sure. I mean, actually getting back to breaking commitments and tying this in with what you said there, Janelle, I mean, they need to understand that breaking commitments is never acceptable.
Mm-hmm.
And if that does happen, the child needs to be told that the grandparents, you know, were invited to this or that, and they just didn't follow through. And the children themselves, I mean, they'll see that breaking commitments are never a good thing to do. But in my opinion, as a parent, a broken commitment by the grandparents or by anyone is called a possible teachable moment.
Right.
And so this is an opportunity for you as a parent to teach your children that there will be consequences for the actions of whether it's the grandparents or of themselves someday. And so we just need to be, as parents, proactive in our children's lives. And we need to spend time with them whenever possible. And whenever we can, as grandparents, we need to be spending time with our grandchildren as well. But the issue on this one, bottom line, is if the grandparents are not doing what you think the grandparents should be doing, we need to ask ourselves, is that a sin that they are committing? And if they are not sinning, then the husband, who, you know, is right on this one when he says that the actions of the grandparents just represent who they are, and they're just being who they are, and so, you know, we cannot be accountable for their actions, but we can certainly use this as a teachable moment for our children to know what is right and what is wrong.
It's 7:22. Thanks so much, Joe and Cindy, mom and dad, for coming in and sharing your insight and wisdom on this. If people would like to connect with you, how can they do that and how can they learn more?
Well, we would love to have them come to Facebook at My Marriage Matters. Click like, and every Monday through Friday about 9 o'clock, there'll be a little sentence, thought, action that you can employ into your life. And then the other way, if they have a question, come to our website at joefarini.com or cindyfarini.com, and you can email us through there. That's the most direct way. But we thank the listener for this question, and certainly it gives us good food for thought. It helps us to learn how to watch over our children and love them through all the learning things that we'll all go through.
Certainly, and we've had some people texting in who have experienced similar things. So this is definitely a good topic to cover. So thanks for doing that, and thanks for being with us. We'll look forward to next week.